And a good day to you. Hey, it's Drew from 99.3 Moose FM, West Nipissing's best music, and welcome to Fascinating People, the show where I try to go around town, find people that are fascinating, and talk to them for about a half an hour. It is this show's philosophy that everybody is fascinating. You just got to get them to tell you how. Now, I didn't actually get somebody from the West Nipissing area on today's episode. We're featuring Kelly Wallace, the creator of Think Turtle, which is a turtle conservation organization located in Ontario, more specifically in Bradford. But she reached out to us asking if we could help spread the word about turtles. And then we had a few messages and emails back and forth, and she is truly a fascinating human being, hence why we put her on this show. But if you yourself are fascinating, or you know somebody with a story to tell, I'd love for you to tell us. Let's get together. Let's talk. Share your story. But for the meantime, let's learn about turtles with our friend, Kelly Wallace.
My name's Kelly Wallace. I'm the founder of Think Turtle Conservation Initiative, based in Bancroft, Ontario.
And where are you from, Kelly?
Originally, I'm from Toronto.
Oh, really? Because yeah. I see your messages to like all the other radio stations in the cluster. I wasn't sure like where you were actually.
I'm actually based in Bancroft, but originally I'm from Toronto. We were moved up here permanently approximately 3 years ago.
Okay.
That's when everything turtle started to happen.
that is something.
No turning back.
I was going to say, that's something that just kind of will hit you in life at some point. Like, how did turtles get involved in your life? Like, so you start in Toronto. Where did you go to school?
I went to school, I went to school in the beaches area when I was younger. And then I ended up going to, I can't even remember where the heck I went. I went to Port Hope High School. And then I finished off with correspondence courses and night classes back in Toronto. Our family moved around a lot. But with turtles have been in my life since the beginning. I don't know why. I've just always been drawn to turtles. I've loved them as a kid. And I think I wore out my family actually talking about turtles when I was younger. I can remember my grandmother sort of sitting there very patiently, and it was only when I got older that I started to realize that people had sort of this sort of glazed over look, and it's like, oh, okay, I guess I better not talk about turtles anymore. I can't help it. They're just, I know I'm biased, right, but they're fascinating. They truly are.
Everybody's got their favorite animal. Yours just happened to be in a shell.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Did you ever own a turtle growing up?
Yes, I did. I had red-eared sliders when I was growing up. And one of the funny stories, I was in grade two, and I had three, Pokey, Gumby, and Prickle. And I took them to school for show and tell. And I had done the show and tell, and then I had them sitting at the side of the room, and they were on display. And I happened to go over there, and some girl, I won't say her name, because, oh, my God, it beat me up if she ever encounters me again. Anyways, she told me that my turtles were stupid, and I got kind of upset about that. So I took the canister of turtle food, and I dumped it all over her head. And I had to stand out in the hall for the afternoon, and anyways, so.
That was the start of your superhero journey, to save all the turtles.
I suppose so. I suppose so.
So then you went to high school in Toronto. You've loved turtles your entire life. So where did Think Turtle come from?
Well, We owned our place as a cottage for a number of years, and I have to admit, I never ever got up here because I was just always so busy. And then in 2016, I started to get up here a bit, and I started to, I started to see that there was turtles being hit on the road, and I took a notice of the fact that there wasn't any turtle signage in the area, and that's really what sort of kicked it off, because I started doing a bit of nosing around to find out, who was involved in turtle conservation and what was going on and why wasn't there any signage. And I really couldn't find anybody doing anything. So I started to sort of do research and find out what was involved. And the funny thing is that what actually happened at first is because of so many of the turtles in our area are snapping turtles and painted turtles, and they're not considered species at risk at the time. I just felt that trying to get signage, it was going to be sort of a fruitless effort. So I didn't really pursue it at the beginning. So the first thing I did just before that was the snapping turtle hunt was still active, which a lot of people didn't actually know about. So I started campaigning in the neighborhood and that in the Bancroft community, trying to get people to sign petition and everything to terminate the hunt. And it was really funny because I really didn't get much response. But people that I spoke with didn't actually realize there was a hunt going on. And then what happened is March the 31st, 2017, it was officially announced that they had terminated the hunt. Mm. And that's what sprung me into action. I kid you not, the very next day, April the 1st, that's when I started making phone calls and everything and finding out who it is I had to meet with and find out about getting signage and everything. Because I figured now, with that happening, that there was more possibility than taking serious the fact that, a lot of the turtles that are getting hit are snapping turtles and painted turtles and, obviously other species as well. And, I ended up working in conjunction with the MTO, trying to find, gather data to do with high-risk road mortality locations. But I sort of started to discover that I needed more data, which meant I had to reach out to the community. Mm. So I put ads in the paper, and then after that, actually Moose got involved. They were great. And the paper as well. They started to sort of promote the idea and everything. And then I started to get responses and people took an interest. And I started to get a lot of people in the community started letting me know about turtle sightings so I started developing spreadsheets and everything and sort of identifying where they call them hotspots, where they were. Mm-hmm. And these are sort of the best places to try and pursue signage. So that, it took into the whole summer and that, compiling all that. And then I believe October 2nd or 3rd, I sent off the data and it was oh my God, I remember it was nerve-wracking, all that work and everything, thinking, oh my God, are we going to get signs? So I just had to sort of put it out of my mind. Mm-hmm. And but what happened along the way is I found that when I was starting to talk with people, I started to discover that they didn't they didn't know about the Ontario Turtle Conservation Center, which is technically the turtle hospital in Ontario. They didn't know about that, and they didn't know about reporting sightings and a whole bunch of other things. So it just sort of, I hadn't set out to be someone that would start educating people or doing classes, but it seemed like it had to be done.
And you just kind of took it on yourself to say, I know what I'm doing, I'll do it.
So I just started doing classes, not classes really, I guess you called them talks, and people started showing up and really took an interest. And it's kind of funny because I being from the city, right, I'm used to city folks and all that, and when you move to the country, it's a whole different, it's just different. People are different. They actually talk to you, which is really nice, as opposed to in the city, you get smacked in the face if you talk to somebody. And I started to find that in a lot of cases, there's a lot of people that really their attitude and their understanding about nature was just to, let it alone and get on with what it does, which is true. It is. It's very respectful and it's what you should do. But the problem is with turtles, though, the turtle populations have declined so significantly, and the populations of animals that predate nests, such as raccoons, have escalated. Mm-hmm. So it's skewed. So we're actually, it's a very unique opportunity for concerned citizens now to be instrumental in helping the turtles and species recovery in that. Mm-hmm. It was re-educating people. And I've met some of the most amazing people. And, and it also opens people up because once you're starting to care and look more at turtles, they start looking at other animals and, plants and just nature as a whole. So it's been really neat watching this community sort of blossom, to be honest. And I've continued doing talks, and I was trying to do the talks sort of before turtle season started last year. Mm-hmm. And after that, I'm after talking with a lot of people, I have to reach more people. This isn't enough there's more awareness needs to be spread here. So then I started doing markets in like into the summer months, and I really, really had no idea how that was going to go. And the funny thing is, it was amazing.
What do you mean markets? What are those?
Well, like farmers markets. I mean, okay. You know, it's kind of like an odd thing. I mean, like really, like, you know, turtles conservation. It's like, yeah. And I found that people that were like the organizers were very receptive to the idea, which was really great. And it's nice because what happens is when people go to talks, you know, obviously they're, you know, it's a commitment, right? There's like a longer length of time. But when they speak with someone at a market, it's a smaller amount of time. And sometimes it's just enough information for someone to sort of take more of an interest. Like, for instance, one of the big things is, like I said, like a lot of people don't know about the Ontario Turtle Conservation Center, which is located in Peterborough. So that's a big eye-opener because people never thought about there being a turtle hospital, right?
I'll be honest, I didn't either. You're telling me about it now.
Yeah, well, you know, that was like a big thing. And like I find that what would happen is, you know, I would get information to them and I would hand out cards. And next thing you know, I'd have people getting in touch and they'd be asking more questions. And because there's a lot of people that they have turtles that nest on their property. You know, they encountered them on the roads. They see situations where they've seen, obviously, there was a turtle nest there, but it's been predated. They know, you know, they didn't know about reporting sightings. So there's actually a lot to know. And I just found that the markets, like I said, I really didn't know how that was going to go. And I was, by the end of the year, it was like, I was like so pleased. And it just felt like I got so much information out to people. And I had people reaching back, like wanting to know, you know, they had more questions. And quite often it was funny, I'd actually get to speak with people that didn't even know they had questions about turtles.
Just the more you had a conversation, the more they're like, but I want to know this. I want to know this. I want to know this.
Yeah. Well, it's like I said, you know, I know I'm biased. You know, I love turtles, but they are actually quite interesting. And like the whole, just everything that's involved in like looking out for turtles, it's you know, it's not so straightforward. And there's a lot of things that have to be considered. And also there's, you know, there's also things that you can and can't do. So like people need to do them, to know them. And the funny thing is, even at the end of the summer, I'm like, oh my God, I still have to reach more people. So then what I took another step, and that was kind of a funny one, because what I actually did is I thought, well, okay, the only thing I got left here now is doing things like craft shows and like the Christmas shows. Mm-hmm. Like I just wasn't content to, I didn't want people to stop thinking about turtles. We just had this momentum going. So what I did is I actually, I was in touch with the Ontario Turtle Conservation Center, and I was selling some merchandise for them.
Mm-hmm.
And people seemed to like that, you know, because they liked the idea of buying, you know, gifts and merchandise and that's from a conservation organization, because they know that the money is going to, you know, go towards conservation and helping the turtles. So, yeah, no, so it was really great. And I don't know, I guess I'm just determined to reach as many people. And obviously there's so many people out in the conservation community that are doing the same. And the nice thing about it is when you do something like this and you put in a lot of effort and you see like positive results, it inspires you on. So like the people that I've spoken with and everything, they've inspired me to continue on and like to just keep going forward. So like I said, everything's turtles.
Well, actually, that's what I wanted to ask you as well. Is that kind of just the overall goal of your Think Turtle organization? You talked about collecting data and creating signs and keeping numbers. Is that the goal, is to just educate and gather information?
Yes, it's extremely important. And like the reason I went with Think Turtle is because I want people to think like a turtle and think about turtles, right? Especially in this particular area that I'm in, Bancroft, like when we first started collecting data, there wasn't actually a lot of data available. So they didn't have like the ministry and various organizations that look at data and they do all kinds of research from it and everything. Like there just wasn't so much available. So with that, it helped to make more data available. And at the time also it helps with mitigation, because like that's obviously what the signs were about. That's sort of like an interim awareness. However, like, you know, especially in the summer when you've got people from the city and other people coming, like tourists and that, you know, that they're just not aware of, you know, turtle activity on the roads. you know, whereas when we live up here, we're more inclined to, you know, realize like, oh, hey, between, you know, April and early November, it's possible you could see a turtle,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're not noose like that. It's the same the other way around because, geez, man, the last time I went to Toronto, I'm not used to bikers. I almost took out a biker when I opened my door, right? So, I mean, it's different areas, you know, there's different road considerations.
Of course.
You know, so.
So I have two stories for you. I actually had two different turtle situations happen to me this year. So what I think would be an interesting idea is I tell you what had happened, and I'd like you to kind of share what someone would do in a similar situation. So my girlfriend and I have gone to the beach, and this little kid starts running outside of the water. He's screaming. He has no idea what's happening. We go and check out what's going on, and we find there's a house turtle, like a domesticated turtle in the river, one that is not, you know, designed for open ocean air or open lake air. It was one that sold at a pet store. So if that situation happens, you find one in the wild, not in its natural habitat, what should you do?
That would have been one that somebody had as a pet and like released. Unfortunately, that does happen. In a situation like that, I think what I would be most inclined to do is take the turtle and then call the Ontario Turtle Conservation Center. It's 705-741-5000. And the thing with talking with them is I sort of consider them like Turtle Central. They like seriously, like they're the people that are connected and like with the network and they you know, they know. And anytime there's like sort of an unusual situation or even concern, you know, like that, I would call them and ask them what they suggest. Like, for instance, turtles like a red-eared slider that are released into the wild, it's actually considered an invasive species.
Oh.
And the problem is that what they actually do is they become very aggressive in that setting, and they actually will sort of push out the eight species native to Ontario. So, you know, now you've got, like, turtles that are sort of competing for, like, the food sources, the habitats and everything. So there's concern about that. So there's kind of mixed feelings because in some cases if the turtle is injured, then of course, obviously it would go to the trauma. I'm just going to call it the trauma center for short. Okay, I'm still talking
to save time.
Yeah, it's a long one. Anyway, so yeah, obviously if the turtle was injured, you know, we'd call there. But I would still call because right now we've actually, in just this year, we've had some changes to do with the ministries. There's been some shuffling around to do with the provincial government. So the Ministry of Natural Resources would have been who you would have spoken with. But now it's changed, and now it's the Ministry of Environment, Conservation, and Parks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so I think that the trauma center is the best people to call. They would have the best advice and be able to connect someone with that sort of situation.
Well,
so why are they running out and screaming? It's just a turtle.
Well, they're kids. They don't know any better. Now, we went to ease everybody's mind. We actually, there's a reptile camp that's just outside of town here, and we're close with the owner. So when we found this guy, we held on to him and took him to the reptile camp, and he's still going to this day, and he's actually part of the shows.
Oh, so, well.
The turtle's okay. The second story I have was actually we were driving to that same reptile camp to help him out with one of his camps, and on the way saw a turtle on the side of the road trying to cross. Now, when you see that happen and it's trying to cross the road, what should someone do in that situation?
Okay, well, obviously the first and foremost, safety has to be the number one priority, right? And you have to consider your own safety, any passengers with you, and any other motorists on the road. So what you would do is you'd pull over onto the shoulder as far as possible, put your hazard lights on. Having a safety vest in your car is always a good idea because it, you know, increases visibility.
Yeah, regardless of turtle, just have a safety vest in your vehicle.
Absolutely. So anyways, a turtle, you always want to move it in the direction that it's headed, no matter what. Even if it's walking, you know, away from the water, it doesn't matter because turtles, what they're doing is always for a purpose. They're very much like that. And the problem is that if you change their course, they're just going to end up on the road again because that turtle was going in that direction for a reason. And when it comes to, did you actually move the turtle?
Yeah, well, my girlfriend worked for this reptile camp for years. So
oh,
she
okay.
she knew what she was doing. She got behind the turtle, put hands in front so that it knew what it was doing, grabbed it by the sides, lifted it up, looked both ways, ran it across.
Okay, was it a snapping turtle or a painted turtle or another turtle?
I believe it was a snapping because she was very, very careful about it.
Probably,
but,
yeah.
But the size of it makes me think it was a snapper.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, no, snapping turtle, it's always best, you come from them behind, and the thing is you don't want to hover too long because actually you start to make them very nervous because the snapping turtles, when they're on land, they feel very vulnerable. And a lot of people don't understand that. They think that, because sometimes they spin around as well. And obviously they snap and everything. And people think that the turtle is being aggressive and looking to attack them and everything. And it's actually not like that. It's self-preservation. And in fact, really, the turtle is actually telling us to, leave them alone because they don't want anything to do with us. But we know that we're there to help them. They don't know that. So in a situation like that with a snapping turtle, there's various ways that you can actually move them because some people aren't comfortable with actually touching the turtle. You can, of course, use gloves.
Mm-hmm.
What I like to do actually is have a towel in the back of my car, and I sort of put it just over the sort of like the back part, and then you just at the very back, it's like the back quarter, you reach under the shell and you grab it, and it's almost like the turtle has almost like handles, right? And then you would move it across. And the thing about the towel is it also helps to contain the back claws because they'll sort of be moving, right? Another way that people like as well is there's actually wheelbarrowing. And what you do is hopefully you can visualize
so
it.
Let me see if I got this right. This is like grabbing them from the back and just kind of walking them across?
Yeah, it sounds funny, but if once you start to do that, you tip the turtle up, it will actually, it's almost like it's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Leave me alone, right?
It's trying to run away.
Moving. Yeah, yeah. And that works very effectively. And there's another method as well that a lot of people aren't so confident about it, where you take the back part of the shell, you grab it in the back area, and then what you do is you slide your hand underneath. The underside is called the plastron, and it's with sort of like almost like a pizza almost or whatever, and like or a tray. And but again, like that's the thing. If someone's not confident or they feel the least bit, nervous about handling a turtle, they really shouldn't. Because even if you drop a turtle from a short distance, you can actually crack your shell.
Oh.
So what I tell people that don't want to actually touch a turtle, but they still would like to help a turtle, that's why having a safety vest is pretty cool. Because if you stand back on the shoulder, make sure you're safe, you can use it in two ways. You can either wave it like a flag or something, and it just gives, motorists coming on, it gives them the idea that something's going on, right? And obviously they're going to see the turtle. Because it's always greatest if the turtle can make it across the road on its own. But, obviously sometimes that's not a possibility. Or the other thing is when you wave that safety vest, these days with the amount of awareness that is out there and everything, it's very likely that somebody else will stop and they may be more comfortable about moving a snapping turtle and they'll move it. I've seen that happen and I've heard that happen so many times.
So you mentioned helping and it kind of got me thinking. You're going out there trying to educate as many people as possible, trying to get signage out there. Is there any way that people can also help you in your quest? Say someone's listening to this and, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of Think Turtle, volunteer my time. What can they do?
The thing is with helping turtles, one of the things we have right now, it's like a grassroots turtle sign initiative going on. It's a project started last year with the Bancroft Beavers and Cubs, and it's a sign. They wanted to do something to help the turtles for a good turn week, so I came up with this turtle design, and it's a wooden sign. It's cut out in a turtle shape, and they picked out the message. The message is watch for turtles, and they added a little smiley face to the turtle. So these turtles, the whole idea of this project started with six signs, and we got permission from various residents in the Bancroft area to put them on their mailbox posts because they have to be on their property. And they were put, and then all of a sudden we started getting requests for these signs, right? So we started with six, and now there's over 800 across Ontario. Yes. And they keep going into different areas. There's a few here, a few there, and they keep expanding. And what happened also in the fall is that I had a gentleman from the Nova Scotia Turtle Patrol get in touch to ask if they could actually duplicate the initiative down there. So now in Nova Scotia, they're actually the initiative, the little signs are starting to move across their area as well. And the thing about the signs is because it's a grassroots initiative, you know, they're not super fancy signs, they're cute. And everyone looks different because people in the community volunteer their time to, like, paint the message on. And you've got, like, kids and seniors and everybody in between. And the thing about it is the community feels like they're involved in trying to help. And what they do, the signs, is it increases overall awareness. It also sends out a message that, you know, our community cares about the turtles and we're asking you on the road, the motorists, to please do the same. And then also we sell the signs, so it's raising money for the Turtle Guardians Tunnel and Trauma Campaign. So, you know, the money's going in to help the turtles in conservation. So that's been a really good one. So I guess one of the things I can say if people want to get involved is to inquire about getting signs into your area, because that's, you know, and even if there's people that want to talk about duplicating the initiative in their community, like, that's a really big help because, again, going back to the provincial government, you know, they've made a lot of changes and everything, and I don't think, it doesn't look like there's going to be much support in regards to signage and mitigation in that regard. So this is a grassroots effort, and this is the people doing what they can to help the turtles. You know, I had a lady last year, she didn't really like the idea of the signs, right? And I explained to her, I said, you know what? I said, there's a lot of people that they live very, very busy lives, and they would really like to help. They don't have the time. So for them to purchase a sign, they're $10, to purchase one of those signs and put it on their mailbox post, it makes them feel like they're doing something. And in fact, they are. So, like, that's like a win-win, and it's a great thing. You know, actually, she sort of changed her thinking. She said, I never thought about it that way. So there you go.
Sometimes it just takes a passionate conversation to turn someone's mind.
Yeah.
Some ideas that I just kind of wrote down here was, like, just talk to politicians or your municipality, see if there's anything they can do. Also, in our area, we have this organization called the Little Rescue. Have you heard of them?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're a reptile rescue charity. So that's another, I think, for people specifically in our area of West Nipissing, might be something to look into.
Well, actually, that's one of the things, like, I love turtles and everything, but I always encourage people to not have turtles as pets. And that would be, the only turtles you can have as pets, actually, are the red-eared sliders.
But even then, no red-eared sliders as pets either? Like,
I just wanted to make sure that people understand that that it's actually illegal to possess any of the 8 turtle species native to Ontario as pets. The only one that it's not actually a species native to Ontario, the slider, is actually from the States. And that one, people can have that one as a pet, but we actually encourage people not to, and for this reason, because there's a lot of people that they don't do their research and they don't realize, like, it's, we're talking a long time commitment here, because a red-eared slider in captivity can live anywhere from like 30 to 50 years. So that you get that. And also there's, you know, as they grow, like, there's more financial commitment because you have to, no filter system can keep up with them. However, people that do their research and, you know, they want to have turtles, what we do suggest is that they adopt. And we always suggest Little Rescue because they have there's so many turtles that unfortunately people have given up on. You know, they bought them when they were cute and small and then they got big and they just, you know, they just don't want to put in the time, the responsibility. So Little Rescue has so many wonderful red-eared sliders to adopt. So, yes, we always encourage that. But I always just like to make sure that people understand what they're getting into because it's such a shame what's gone on with the red-eared sliders. It's not their fault. It's just, you know, people, you know, quite often people think that they're a good turtle for, like, a starter pet for kids, right? And they're actually not, period, like I said, because there's things to consider. And, you know, they are smelly and the filter system, there's a lot of work, so people have to make sure that they're ready for that commitment. And the people that are realize that they're, like, they're just the most wonderful. I just, like I said, turtles rock.
Take some time. Don't make it an impulse decision. Really marinate on it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And actually going on to the Little Rescue website, it's very informative, and they have all the information there about, you know, so people can read about, like, you know, the requirements when it comes to finances, food, looking after them, but you know, to get a better feel of what they're looking into if they're thinking about adopting one.
That's everything I had written down on my page here. Was there anything else you'd like to mention before we take her home?
Well, I guess the other thing is, if it's okay, I'm assuming, should I give mine information? Because what I was going to say, if anybody ever has any questions about turtles, you know, you can email me. We're on Facebook as well. You can send questions there. Because it's really important that people have the information that they need. I know there's lots of information on the internet, and some you have to be very careful sometimes with sources that you consult. And especially if you're in Ontario, really, you should be consulting sources that are like Ontario.
Yeah, you shouldn't just go to a website that has a turtle as the top page. Go to somebody that's been looking at them and studying them for years.
You know, well, sometimes what happens is you'll see people, they'll post something, and then when you look at it, you realize it's to do with the turtles in the States, right? And I mean, you know, we're talking about different circumstances, different species, like, you know, and what applies here doesn't necessarily apply there and vice versa. So, yeah. So also, the biggest thing is if anybody finds an injured turtle on the road, to please, please, no matter where you are in Ontario, because they admit turtles from all across Ontario, call the Ontario Turtle Conservation Center. And again, the number is 705-741-5000. They'll walk you through it, and it's always great if you can take the turtle there. It's in Peterborough. But if you can't, they actually have what's called a turtle taxi, and they have volunteers all across Ontario, and they'll arrange a ride. And also, they're always looking for volunteers. So if anybody's interested, again, you know, call that number. And it's not a big-time commitment. Basically, you know, you would be on an email list, and the location that the turtle is in would be listed in the subject line. You know, and if you see, okay, the turtle is listed in Bancroft, and it's like, well, no, I can't do that one. So you just ignore the email, and, you know, and then you would respond. If you have the time, you'd respond to the ones that you know you could maybe help with. And, God, even helping, you know, do one drive the whole season, it helps. It really does. Because, like I said, the populations are declining so much to do with road mortality, habitat loss, and poaching. And so any way we can help the turtles this way, it really helps.
And again, if somebody wants to reach out to you, you said you're on Facebook. What else can they do?
So Think Turtle, the email address is thinkturtle@yahoo.com. It's Think Turtle Conservation Initiative on Facebook. And if you go to either of those, you know, send a message and we can go from there. I can put you in touch with various other organizations that are very helpful. There actually is a lot going on now in the conservation community to do with turtles, and there's some really amazing programs and all sorts of things. So,
well, thank you so much for sticking around and answering my questions.
Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate the opportunity to, you know, share awareness with people that are listening, and also it's all aimed at helping the Ontario turtles, and it's amazing because, oh my gosh, they need help.
If you have some time, lend a hand.
Absolutely.